St. Cecilia, of course, we always have a lot going on, and of course, particularly this weekend. So we will hear a little reflection from the Archbishop on the CMA's, the Catholic Ministry's appeal, and I'll say a few words in a moment. But firstly, of course, as you saw the procession, the beautiful procession today, we are honoring St. Sebastian, who is the patron saint of those from Oaxaca, Mexico. We have some of those here who are from there. And today, we heard in our reading from St. Paul, right, that we are called to become holy, that we all have a calling in life, and the Archbishop will mention that too. And our first call, right, for all of us is to become holy by our very baptisms. St. Sebastian is one who lived that out. He's one of the early martyrs in the church. He's one who is most commonly depicted in art. Particularly, he's the one, of course, who was shot with arrows, right? The first time they tried to kill him by shooting him with arrows when he stood up for his faith, and he survived. But he grew in faith during that time and was strengthened and eventually then became a martyr and died for his faith later on. But he is a great example to us of holiness, right? One who is not afraid to live out that life, give his entire life to Jesus Christ. Hoy escucharemos algunas palabras de Arzobispo. Él explica cómo todos tenemos un llamado en la vida. San Pablo dice hoy que todos estamos llamados a ser santos. Esta es nuestra primera vocación. Hoy reconocemos el ejemplo de San Sebastián. San Sebastián se convirtió en uno de los mártires tempranos más famosos que se representan en el arte. No tenía miedo de renunciar a su vida. La primera vez que sus perseguidores intentaron matarlo disparándole con flechas. Él sobrevivió milagrosamente. Su fe solo se fortaleció en esto y luego renunció a su vida por la fe. Que podamos ser santos como este santo patrón hoy. And so we honor Saint Sebastian today. Of course, also we will hear in a moment about the Catholic Ministry's appeal from the Archbishop, and how important it is that we support, right, these six areas within the Archdiocese, these six ministries. Particularly, I'd like to mention three, which we are very closely connected with in this parish. Firstly, one of them is the prison ministry. Within our parish here, we have one of our young adults is in charge of that. He runs the prison ministry. Secondly, we have another member of our parish who works for St. Rita's, right, the school for the deaf. Thirdly, we have Deacon Chris Komorowski, who is a deacon, will be ordained a priest this year. And of course, supporting the seminary is another one of these ministries. And so how we are called to participate, right, in this life and being charitable and feeding the poor, caring for those retired priests, the seminary, those who are in need. And so, of course, we will hear more now from the Archbishop, but I just wanted to say a few words to introduce it. Thank you.
This is Archbishop Dennis Schneider. The readings we have just heard call us to know, love, and serve the Lord by loving and serving one another. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah proclaims that the Lord formed me as his servant from the womb. This is true of all of us. From the first moment of our existence, God had a unique plan, a definite purpose for each and every one of us. Every life has meaning in the mind of God. Every life is important, and every life is worth living. How profoundly sad it is, then, that this coming Wednesday, January the 22nd, we will observe the 47th anniversary of the disastrous United States Supreme Court decision that effectively legalized abortion in all 50 states. Abortion is an intrinsic evil, inflicting wide-ranging damage on society beyond those immediately touched by it. Christians and others who truly respect life will never accept abortion as a justifiable choice by the mother, for whom we also care deeply. The annual March for Life, which will attract tens of thousands of participants of all faiths to Washington, D.C. on Friday, is a demonstration of our profound respect for every person from conception to natural death. I am heartened that so many from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, including young people, will be among that number. Pope Francis addressed the tragedy of abortion in strong terms in his apostolic exhortation on holiness rejoice and be glad. He wrote, our defense of the innocent unborn, for example, needs to be clear, firm, and passionate, for at stake is the dignity of a human life, which is always sacred and demands love for each person, regardless of his or her stage of development. That love extends in a special way to expectant mothers, for whom a problem pregnancy may bring anguish rather than joy. The Lord calls Isaiah in today's reading to be a light to the nations. That is the role of Christian believers as well. We fulfill that commission in part by working to change unjust laws and to enact just laws, as is the case of abortion and other social justice issues. Just as importantly, however, we put our faith into action outside of the government sphere by supporting programs that care for life and witness to the gospel. This we do with our prayers, our volunteer time, and our financial contributions. And one of the most effective ways to help in the 19 counties of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati is by donating to the Catholic Ministries Appeal. The Catholic Ministries Appeal helps to fund 6 ministries that assist the most vulnerable among us every day, including expectant mothers, the hungry, the elderly, those with mental health challenges, refugees, the sick, prisoners, and families. These ministries are Catholic Charities of Southwest Ohio and Catholic Social Services of the Miami Valley, Hospital, Campus, and Prison Chaplaincies, St. Rita's School for the Deaf, our seminary and vocation programs, our retired archdiocesan priests, and new evangelization programming to share our love of the faith and proclaim the gospel message. Together, these ministries, supported by the Catholic Ministries Appeal, meet not only material needs, but spiritual and educational needs as well. The theme for this year's appeal is Together for the Faith of the Gospel. That phrase reflects the fact that we are acting as a community driven by the gospel mandate to love God and our neighbor. In today's second reading, St. Paul tells the Christian community in the Greek port city of Corinth that they are called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are all called to be holy. And what makes us holy? We can look to the responsorial psalm attributed to King David for a model. David was a man who sinned greatly, yet also loved God greatly. The refrain summarizes the theme of the entire psalm. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. David is Israel's king, but more importantly, he is called to be God's servant. He realizes that it is not sacrifice and sin offerings that God wants, but loving obedience. This is what makes us holy, seeking to do God's will. Deference to God's plan over our own preferences requires a humility that we see reflected in St. John the Baptist, the precursor of Christ. John is sometimes considered the final prophet of the Old Testament era. Like the prophets before him, he prepared the way of the Lord. Today's reading from the Gospel of John recounts the moment in which John recognizes Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one of God. The Gospels and contemporary accounts agree that John himself had a strong following of disciples. Some people even thought that he might be the Messiah. But John knew that Jesus was the long-awaited Savior. In this reading, he calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, a phrase familiar to Catholics from the communion rite of the Mass. That striking image evokes memories of the lamb sacrificed at the Passover as Jesus was. It is most likely the basis for using the lamb to represent Jesus in early Christian art. John the Baptist also testifies at the conclusion of the reading that Jesus is the Son of God. Like the prophet Isaiah, King David, and St. Paul, St. John the Baptist listened closely to God. That is what enabled him to recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, and direct others to him. And how do we find Jesus today? As Catholics, we encounter him in a unique way in the real presence of the Holy Eucharist. At the same time, we are to seek the face of the Lord in all peoples, especially those in need. When St. Paul collected funds for the poor and for the Church of Jerusalem during his missionary journeys, he and his donors engaged in a form of charity never seen before in the ancient world. This was the first time that individuals contributed to help others they did not personally know. They did so because they saw the face of Jesus in those in need. All great saints have treated others as they would treat Jesus. St. Teresa of Calcutta is perhaps the most obvious example of that in our day. On one occasion, she admonished others to seek, and I quote, "seek the face of God in everything, everyone, at all times, and his hand in every happening. This is what it means to be a contemplative in the heart of the world, seeing and adoring the presence of Jesus, especially in the lowly appearance of bread and in the distressing disguise of the poor." In that spirit, I invite you to contribute to the Catholic Ministry's appeal this year so that we as a local church can make a difference in the lives of others together for the faith of the gospel. I thank you in advance on behalf of all of those who are served by the church through the Catholic Ministry's appeal.